When one is living through a crisis, there is more than enough unpleasantness going on, and one has no need for a distraction. Whatever the psychological explanation, this is a common pattern, and it is important to recognize it so that the back pain will not be blamed on some, quote, physical condition. When we generate anger, depends mostly on the details of our personality structure. Some people report that they almost always have an attack of pain when they're on vacation. Or if they already have pain, they'll report that it gets worse on weekends. For some, the reason is obvious. They are very anxious about their work or business when they're away from it. It's a bit like the delayed reaction. As long as they are on the job, they may be burning up the tension. But when they are away from it, supposedly relaxing, the tension accumulates. Speaking of relaxing, one often hears the advice, relax, as though that's something one can do voluntarily. There are also numerous techniques around for promoting relaxation, like drugs, meditation, and biofeedback, to name a few. However, unless the relaxation process succeeds in reducing repressed anger, people will develop things like TMS and tension headaches despite the attempt to induce relaxation. Some people don't know how to leave their daily concerns behind them and shift attention to something pleasurable. I remember a patient who said that her pain would invariably begin when she got herself a drink and sat down to relax. Essential to an understanding of TMS and what happens over time if one continues to be plagued by this disorder is knowledge about a very important phenomenon known as conditioning. A more modern term meaning the same thing is programming. All animals, including humans, are conditionable. The phenomenon is best known by the experiment reported by the Russian physiologist Pavlov, who is credited with the discovery of conditioning. One of his experiments demonstrated that animals develop associations which can produce automatic and reproducible physical reactions. In the research study, he rang a bell each time he fed a group of dogs. After repeating this a few times, he found that the dogs would salivate if he rang the bell, even without the presentation of food. They had become conditioned to have a physical reaction at the sound of the bell. The process of conditioning or programming seems to be very important in determining when the person with TMS will have pain. For example, a common complaint of people with low back pain is that it is invariably brought on by sitting. This is such a benign activity, one is mystified by the fact that it initiates pain. But conditioning occurs when two things go on simultaneously. So it is easy to imagine that at some point early in the course of the TMS experience, the person happens to be having pain while sitting. The brain makes the association between sitting and the presence of pain, and that person is now programmed to expect pain with sitting. In other words, the pain occurs because of its unconscious association with sitting, not because sitting is bad for the back. That is one way a conditioned response may be established. Car seats have a bad reputation, so a person expects to have pain when he or she gets into a car. Often, people are programmed to have pain because of things they've heard or things they've been told by a practitioner. Never bend at the waist means the onset of pain is a sure thing when they bend from then on, although it may never have caused pain before. Someone says that sitting compresses the lower end of the spine. So, of course, it's got to hurt when you sit. Standing in one place, lifting, carrying, all have a bad reputation and will quickly be conditioned into a patient's pattern. Many people report that the pain is relieved by walking. Others say that walking brings it on. Some have a great deal of pain at night and cannot sleep. One man worked hard all day long with a fair amount of heavy lifting and never a twinge of pain. Every night, he would wake up about 3 a.m. with severe pain that persisted until he got out of bed. Clearly, a conditioned reaction. Others report that they sleep well, but develop pain as soon as they wake up and get out of bed. In these patients, the pain usually increases in severity as the day goes on. Based on history and physical examination, all of these people have TMS, but are programmed to believe they suffer from something else. What gives strong support to the idea that these reactions are conditioned is that they disappear within a few weeks as patients go through my treatment program. If they were structurally based, they would not go away after treatment consisting primarily of lecture seminars, but this is what happens with successfully treated patients. The conditioning is broken by the educational process. One cannot overemphasize the importance of conditioning in TMS, for it explains many of the reactions that patients don't understand. If someone says, "I can lift a very light weight, but anything over 5 pounds will cause pain," the pain can't be based on structural grounds. Or this example, a woman who could bend over and touch her palms to the floor without pain, but told me she always felt pain when she put her shoes on. Many of these conditioned responses stem from the fear that people develop when they have back pain, especially in the low back. They have been told and they have read that the back is fragile, vulnerable, and easily injured. So if they try to do something vigorous like jog or swim or vacuum a carpet, their backs begin to hurt. They have learned to associate activity with pain. They expect it, so it happens. That is conditioning. The specific posture or activity that brings on the pain is not important per se. What is essential is to know that it has been programmed in as part of the TMS and is therefore of psychological rather than physical significance. Perhaps the most common pattern is for the person to have recurrent acute attacks of the kind I've described. These may last from days to weeks or even months, with the most acute pain subsiding after a few days. They are traditionally treated with bed rest, painkillers, and anti-inflammatory drugs. If the patient is hospitalized, traction is often employed, though its purpose is to immobilize the patient and not to pull the spinal bones apart, since this could not be done with the weights used. I do not instruct my patients what to do for an acute attack, for it is the goal of this program to see that the attacks don't occur, to prevent them. However, occasionally I am called upon to advise someone having an acute attack. As I stated earlier, it's essentially a question of waiting.